The latest offering from Manhattan Theater Club, Tales from Red Vienna, is playwright David Grimm's exploration of life in the Austrian capital in the years following World War I, and especially the plight of young war widows who, lacking the means to support themselves, turn to the world's oldest profession. It's at City Center Stage 1, and I'm very pleased to welcome two of its stars, Kathleen Chalfant and Nina Arianda, to our show today. Welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
Nina, you play Helena Altman, a young widow who has been forced to walk the streets to support herself after the death of her husband in World War I. What kind of woman is Helena? Do you think about her beyond the script? Have you given yourself some kind of a backstory?
Yes, I think the story provides a lot there, but I think what I admire most about her is her courage. And, you know, the play takes place in a time where nobody really had the luxury to complain. And she kind of is the face of that in a way.
Well, this is not uncommon after a country has lost a war. But in Vienna's case, it must have been particularly sad or powerful, or because Vienna had seen itself as so important in the world before World War I.
Right. The fall was very strong.
Freud is even mentioned in this play.
Freud is mentioned. And it's also because so many widows were produced because the war was such, there was such carnage in the First World War.
Here you play, Kathleen, Etta Schmidt, Helena's longtime housekeeper. What appealed to you about the role?
I grew up in a boarding house. My parents owned a boarding house in Oakland, so I knew how to move trays and plates and things. And lately I haven't been able to play downstairs very much. And it was wonderful. There's a kind of freedom, particularly in old family retainers in circumstances like this. And Etta is a great example of the sort of fearless truth teller. And it looked like it would be fun, and it has been fun.
And she's a kind of a one-woman Greek chorus commenting on the actions of the main characters. And she also gets many of the funniest lines.
Yes, she does.
Yes, which never hurts, right?
No, it doesn't hurt at all. It's very nice.
Helena has been forced to leave the home that she had lived in with her husband, rent a much smaller apartment. But she's still able to have a housekeeper?
She is. We talked about that a little bit, and we thought that since Etta has been with Helena, she's kind of not only the mother figure, but also just a family member in a way.
And it seems fairly clear that Etta has some money from somewhere, or has saved money so that she, because they talk all the time about Helena's money and Etta's money, and it's clear that there are two kinds. I think that you would have to kill Etta to separate her from
Well, she's adept at running the household on next to no money and finding scarce goods like real coffee. Mm-hmm. Did you do research into what Vienna was like at that time? I've spoken to a number of actors who have said, you know, I don't do any research. I get the script, I learn the lines, and I that's the character I play. And then others say, I go to the library, I watch films, I do everything possible to know as much as I can about what was going on at the time.
We had a pretty good library in the rehearsal hall. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was kind of researching what it meant to receive a state subsidy as a widow. And from what I found out, it turns out that if your husband dies, you get half of the
whatever his salary,
right,
what
the salary was. But if he deserts or does something against the military rule, you get nothing. And what they did receive was really unkind with what they had to support. And like you said, it's also about keeping up appearances and what that means socially.
And there was huge inflation, so
right.
it wasn't adjusted for inflation, this stipend.
Do you see Helena as a very different character than the character you played in Venus in Furs?
Yes. Yes. Well, for one, she's a widow, you know.
But sex is at the center of both of these stories.
It is. But what's wonderful is that it's the not doing in Venus that was erotic. And here it's the giving into passion and giving into owning her body in a different way.
And I was going to ask you, Kathleen, whether this character is at all similar to the one you played, the woman with terminal cancer in Wind, and before that, the woman and man.
And man, all
in Angels in America.
Well, no, Etta has in common with them a smart mouth, I think.
We learn that Helena is not the only war widow to find herself in this situation. In fact, one of her childhood friends is also walking the streets. I'm assuming that it wasn't all that uncommon, but were there a lot of women who found themselves in this situation, walking the streets, not in the usual attire of prostitutes, but in their black mourning clothes?
It was a phenomenon, and that phenomenon is the thing that that first caught David Grimm's imagination, because it was, as it says in the play, an epidemic. Mm-hmm. And particularly, you know, about the play takes place 18 months after the end of the war, and that's about the time the money runs out. Mm-hmm. You know, and these women, upper middle class women particularly, had no other resources.
But I wonder about walking the streets in your mourning clothes. Do you think that men found that particularly alluring?
I personally hope not, but I unfortunately think that, yes, they did, in fact, find that alluring. Yeah.
Because to some degree, it reveals their helplessness.
Right. Isn't that terrible? Yeah. It's just terrible.
God, you know, men.
Well, you said it.
Do we know what Freud had to say about that?
I don't know. I bet. I'm sure he probably did have things to say about it.
Soon, another of Helena's childhood friends, the wealthy Mutzi von Fessendorf, played wonderfully by Tina Benko, shows up ostensibly to help Helena by introducing her to an eligible bachelor. But is she really being altruistic?
I don't know. I don't know if I feel comfortable answering for Tina. I think that's more.
Well, she seems to have ulterior motives.
She does. She does. But I think for her, I would say she feels well intended.
Yes, it's come her.
And then we find out that this man, a Hungarian journalist, Béla Hajós, played by Michael Espert, is one of Helena's Johns.
Yes.
So they have to act like they've never met before.
Absolutely.
The story takes several twists and turns. We won't reveal them.
Oh, good.
All here.
Yeah, no.
It's a wonderfully old-fashioned play in that way, and people seem to have fun because people honestly say they don't know what's coming next, and it's a great. It's in three acts, in you know, sort of classic structure and all like that. So.
And then the sets and costumes are wonderfully evocative. We really get a sense of the way that people lived in that society. When do the sets and the costumes affect you as actors?
Tremendously, yes. And I think what John Lee Beatty created with the set, especially with the apartment, it makes me feel incredibly claustrophobic at times, which is exactly, I think, what it is. It's almost feeling like a caged animal.
I've always wondered when you put on a dress or from men's suits haven't changed all that much over the last 150 years or so, but dresses sure have. And when you put on a dress from the end of the 19th century or from 1918 or 1940, mm-hmm. Do you become another person automatically even before you slip into character?
Yes, because my posture is informed by not only the dress, but the undergarments, and that changed dramatically as well.
So you wear the authentic undergarments?
Yes.
Yes. Etta, not so much. There's more of Etta than there is of me, which is an interesting thing, too. It's interesting if your body shape has changed. It makes you move in a different way. That was an interesting decision on the part of the designers and the director.
My guests are Kathleen Chalfant and Nina Arianda, two of the stars of Tales from Red Vienna, playwright David Grimm's new work that is currently at the Manhattan Theater Club at City Center Stage 1. That's that nice little theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about the theater? An intimate theater like that, does that also affect performance?
It's interesting. Stage 1 doesn't feel as intimate as some other theaters of the same size because the proscenium is very, very wide. And the seats are set in an amphitheater. Mm-hmm. So it's a place where you can expand to fill the space.
Wasn't Angels in America there also?
No.
Well, I'm trying to remember because I remember that was a very wide set
We were at the Walter Kerr. Oh. When we came to New York, we went directly to Broadway, so we were at the Walter Kerr.
Well, a very wide stage like that means you're doing a lot of walking also. It's opposite of claustrophobic.
But John he's done a wonderful thing. He's used, sometimes that space is a problem for designers, but in this case he's used it to make the point so that the apartment is a box floating in space. It's a wonderful idea.
And it's within the details. The way he paints the walls creates this illusion sometimes when you look at it. And really, exactly that, the way he created the box within, that's what kind of gives it that feel for me.
Can we talk about some other projects both of you have been involved in? Nina, after your triumph in Venus in Fur, you were cast in Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris. So you're in a new film called Rob the Mob, which just opened, mm-hmm. and you got some great reviews for that.
Oh, that's
can you tell us about that?
About Rob the Mob?
Yeah.
It's a story about a couple between 91 and 92 who, based on a true story, that would rob social clubs, social mafia clubs in New York.
And it's set during John Gotti's trial?
Yes.
Is it a love story or a comedy or a combination?
I think it's a combination. For me, it's a love story. But I think it's got a little bit of everything. It's a little action. It's a little gangster and a little romance.
Well, your boyfriend decides to rob mafia social clubs when he learns that guns aren't allowed in them.
That's right.
But isn't it dangerous to rob the mafia?
Absolutely it is. That's not a smart move.
I've heard that you're going to be playing Janis Joplin sometime in the future. Is that possible?
I think it's possible, yeah. I think the producers know more than I do, unfortunately, at this point.
If it happens, talk to me sometime because I knew her.
Well, lunch.
Kathleen?
Yes.
Well, I'm always amazed that they don't call me and ask me, well, what was your take on Janis? I do have stories to tell. Kathleen, you've been doing a lot of TV recently.
Yeah.
House of Cards, The Americans, Rescue Me, Elementary, among others.
Right.
Has TV taken over for the theater?
The wonderful thing about TV now is you can do it in New York and work in the theater as well, because I've been all during this period working sort of one play after another. And I was in the pilot for a new Showtime series that's been picked up called The Affair.
One of the things that I've noticed recently is that an actor can appear in a number of different shows at the same time these days. In the past, they would have been very worried about you being in a regular in one series and a guest in another series. Is it easier to work across different media now than when you were starting out?
I think it is. It is easier, and it's certainly easier to base yourself in New York. To make the decision not to go to California, because the longest period I had in a series was in The Guardian, in which I recurred for 3 years, and I couldn't work in the theater then because I had to fly to California. But now, wonder of wonders, they sometimes let you out in time to get to your curtain, which never used to happen.
Nina, you established yourself in the old way as an actor on the stage. Was the transition to TV and films difficult?
No, I think it's exciting. I get a chance to kind of really learn it from in a different way. Yeah.
Another thing that we're seeing that has changed a lot is that things that might not have been successes in the past, like House of Cards, especially since it's available only on Netflix, is a huge sensation.
Yes. I think the other reason that it's possible to appear on more than one show, that they don't demand exclusivity anymore, is that the audience has been divided now into smaller portions. And it used to be that, you know, 50 million people watched a show, and now if 6 million people see it, mm-hmm. that's enough to keep it alive, and it has its, as you say, life on Netflix, on, you know.
That's because we have more than three networks nowadays.
We do, or one, depending on how you count.
Nini, you've also guest starred on 30 Rock and The Good Wife. Do you hope to be able to continue to do major theater roles
Absolutely.
While you're doing this?
I hope to be able to continue working, period.
Well, for a lot of people, the TV shows were a way of paying for their guilty pleasure, which was working in the theater.
Right.
But pretty much all the shows that I have mentioned so far are terrific in their own right. Mm-hmm. And some people are talking about a golden age of television.
I think it's true. Some of the best popular writing in the country is now for television. And interestingly enough, television has become the writer's medium.
Because, absolutely.
You know, it's the writers who are the showrunners and the producers of their shows. That used to be true of the theater, but it's absolutely true in television, and it's very exciting.
Well, you can also pick and choose right now because it's all done closely. But can you work on a TV thing while you're appearing in a play like Tales from Red Vienna?
Michael Esper does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, how long is it running?
We run till the 27th of April.
Uh-huh. And then is something else coming in, or can, because this is
a success? I think something else is coming in. That's the end for us.
And I'm assuming you also have lots, since you're both such great successes, you have lots of other irons in the fire. Kathleen, you gave me a look like, well.
Well, we'll see. You know, it's very odd. It's a peculiar life to be a working actor because sometimes you are, and then all of a sudden you have five things to choose from. But the TV show starts shooting in May, and we'll see. And there are a lot of sort of projects floating that are exciting this time.
Well, Nina, I assume that after Venus and Furs, people were just throwing scripts at you.
Throwing, that's aggressive. Gently passing, yes, occasionally, yeah.
So that must, for both of you, you must feel very good that you can pick and choose.
It's a great luxury to be able to try to have more than one thing to decide about.
Well, as long as you don't wind up being typecast as a prostitute, Nina.
Right. That's not my plan.
Or as a housemaid.
As a housekeeper, yes.
Both of you, thank you so much for being on our show. We've been talking with two of the stars of the Manhattan Theater Club's latest offering, David Grimm's play, Tales from Red Vienna. It's at City Center Stage 1, which is at 131 West 55th Street. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you so
very much.